I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, y'all aren't going to ask me anymore about that third quarter. It's off my back. We just had to get a touchdown. There was our guys worked too hard and it was too close. And to be able to get that, I think at that point in the game, we had to get that touchdown. A field goal helps you, but it's a little deflating to be that close and not get a touchdown. So it was good job getting in there on the QB sneak. It was so close on the run right before that. But our guys are fighters.
We're back with more of the Prop Swap post-game show with Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears.
Well, Pat, it's like you were saying a few minutes ago. I mean, I think it's a good thing to hear these guys unsatisfied, a little touchy, a little upset themselves. I mean, Matt, he's got to know he's kidding himself there. That one touchdown that they almost didn't get, it didn't solve anything in the third period. And I wonder if what he was telling us was he would have gone on fourth down if he had to, because I think based on what he just said, I'm guessing that's what he was saying. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I went back and looked at my notes there. They had that nice run by David Montgomery to get him down to the 1 yard line for first and one. They're stuffed. I think the tight ends on the right, kind of crashed down and got beat, and they helped stop that. Second and one, that's the one with the elbow. He didn't get in. And that's concerning. You're on the 1 yard line. You can't get an inch. I mean, they weren't even on the 1 yard. They were on the inch line, basically, and then have to get Foles in there with the sneak. And that's great. It puts them up 20-6. So it would have been, 13-6? Yeah, I do. I think they would have gone for it on fourth down, because I hope he believes in his defense that much that he can. They're not going to score that many points on him, but I think that's part of it. Maybe he was just going to do it just to say he scored a touchdown in the third quarter, and I'm glad they did. But that was a series to me when they got down in the red zone there. That showed their problems with the run game. They can't get anybody just to move anybody off the ball and get 1 yard or a half a yard. They had to take three plays and get a quarterback sneak to finally get it in there. When you would think maybe they could design something or had something ready to go and just to kind of get a run that looked a little bit better than the two that were pretty bad, but I guess not. The guys got beat up front and they couldn't get in the end zone, and finally they got the QB sneak, and I want to go back and look at it. We obviously went over Cody White here. I don't know if he went over the right guard or left guard, but they got the touchdown, put them up 20-6, and that's when I thought the Bears were going to kind of run away with it. The fourth quarter would be kind of sleepy, and we've just, the game's over, but Bears did what the Bears wanted to do, and they entertained us a little bit more in the fourth quarter and kept us on the edge of our couch, or kept me on the edge of my couch.
Well, and the irony of it all, Pat, is it looks like there's a decent chance that at about an hour we're going to be talking about the first place Chicago Bears, because
yes,
the Green Bay Packers are getting it put on them pretty good by Tom Brady and company. Had a feeling that Packers defense could be exposed. The Bucs have put up four touchdowns in the second period. They are up 28-10. On the Packers right now. The only other game in action right now is still Dolphins 21, Jets nothing in the third period. And then we've given you all the early scores. So we are going to visit with Big Ann, Anthony Heron, and Olin Kreutz for a minute or two in just a few minutes. But Pat, we got about 5 or 10 more here. Phone lines have gotten quiet for the moment. If you guys want to dial us up, it's 312-644-6767. If you don't get to us, you get to Anthony and Olin. So give us a call again, 312-644-6767. I'm curious, Patrick, and I'm not asking you to name names. I would never do that, and I don't think you would anyway. But in your years with the Bears, you played on some really good football teams that were much better on defense than they were on offense. Did you ever play with a team? Because one of the things that you worry about now is that it gets to the point where the defense gets frustrated with the offense and the locker room starts to fracture a little bit. Were you ever in a situation with any of the teams that you played on like that?
No, but I think you could sense the frustration, and nobody ever, you know, said a word in the locker room or anywhere like that. But I think you just, you kind of knew that the defense was carrying the torch for us, and they were the leaders. They were the ones that were going to win a couple games for us, and they did, you know, with the takeaways and stuff like that. But I never ran into anything like that, and I'm glad I didn't. And I think that speaks volumes to our locker room and our head coach Lovie Smith and who we had in there. But and I'm sure we know they were frustrated, but it was never words coming out at you like, come on, guys, you got to do better than this. It was just you just knew that maybe more points needed to be scored for the defense to make their job easier. But that's just the way it was. But we all got along. We all respected each other. But we never got that far where words are exchanged.
Well, you know, you worry about it. I know of teams that it's happened on. I've never seen it happen with the Bears in all my years of covering. I don't sense that this team is anywhere near that. There seems to be a really great vibe around this football team, and I've had a fair amount of interaction with defensive and offensive guys at the same time. No sense of that. It is just something that you keep an eye on. You know, one of the other things we have not talked about at all is it was pretty clear, and again, I want to go back and look at the tape to get the bigger sense of it, but I was seeing it in the first half in particular, and even well into the third period. The Bucs apparently weren't too worried about the Bears' running game, because even though they were 25th in the NFL against the run, they didn't do anything special to try and take it away, and what they were focused on is they did try and take away Allen Robinson as best they could. That was one of the reasons that Robinson only had three catches, I think, late into the third period. Now, Allen Robinson being Allen Robinson eventually broke loose for what was one big play on that final touchdown drive. But this is the fear that you start to have as some of this stuff becomes not only predictable but stuff that you can't fix. Then you're playing into a defense's hands, and if they only got to take one or two things away, you're going to struggle. And this is where I've always had a hard time knowing how much to put on a Mitch Trubisky or a Nick Foles. I don't know what's available to them. You know, until we get to study the film and see the end zone shots and see what they were seeing, I don't see a lot of guys making plays, and I don't know how many guys are in position to make plays. And a lot of it comes back to the timing of this offense and the offense just not giving them time to get that done.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is, Hub, this offense cannot turn the ball over. You know what I mean? They're gonna score their 20 points. That's what they do. That's just what they've been doing since Matt Nagy's got here. And you just can't turn the ball over. And one thing that frustrated me was that the situation when Nick Foles threw that interception after the defense got the ball back. So that would be one area where they're probably frustrated. But to go back about the defense liking the offense, or, you know, all that, I think about the moment, it's a weird moment, is when Khalil Mack went and hugged Mitch Trubisky after he got pulled. These guys like each other, and that's important. I just think that's really important. They're pulling for each other. Can they get frustrated? I think that's just what's going to happen, but you can't let it boil over to words or actions or, you know, that kind of stuff. But I don't think it will, but this offense, just don't turn the ball over, and you're going to be okay. If you can get any better, I don't know how they're going to do it in the run game, but if they can, then, hey, good for them. They're going to be that much better. But with this defense and the way they're playing right now, they're pretty darn good.
Yeah, and this is what gets back to both Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, and I think probably more Nagy in season, is that as you evaluate these guys, you look at the totality of their job. You got to look at the whole piece of the puzzle. And one of their main focuses has been culture, having a winning culture, having a good locker room, having 53 guys that can work together as a team and one unit, being able to take advantage of each other's strengths and weaknesses. And on this, you have to give them very, very high marks. And in a situation like this, because this team has a chance to do some special things. I mean, I don't know if that they're good enough to do special things, but they're 5-1, you know, and that's where you just long to be at this point in the season. It sets you up with opportunity, and a lot of it is because of this culture they've built and the position that they've put them in to get there. The other thing, Pat, that I think is ignored more than it's even underrated is that these guys, they don't quit. And they make plays in big moments. They don't feel pressure. I mean, when you describe the best red zone defense in the NFL, that's because when it gets the hardest, it's when they play their best. It's the same thing with being one of the best third down defenses in the NFL. It's the same thing, which as bad as this offense is, they have found a way to get the points they've needed when they've needed them. And this is another thing that it's not the whole job, you know, but I mean, it is something that this coach, this coaching staff, and this front office do deserve credit for.
They do. And just to go back to that defense real quick of how impressive they were in the red zone, would they have like a 15-play drive and another 12-play drive? And, you know, they're tired as can be. They're getting the ball, letting the ball down to the red zone, but they stop them. And it's, you know, it's about points, obviously. You know, the offense needs to score more, but this defense, they just keep everybody out of the end zone. And they're impressive. Chuck Pagano's done a nice job with him down there in the red zone. I don't know where they stand historically in numbers because it was pretty cool of what they've done so far through the season. But that defense is got a chance to be pretty special. But just to sum it up again, that offense has got to be better. But we just don't know if they can. I just don't think they have the talent to be they're never going to be elite, right? They're never going to be elite. But we just need them to somehow get a little bit better. And what Matt Nagy said going into this game is take care of details. But they still didn't take care of details.
No, you know, and Pat, something else that we haven't talked much about that I think is important. Vic Fangio is a genius. When it comes to defensive football, he's as good as anybody in the NFL. And when you look at what he's overcoming now with the run of injuries that they're having, it looks like he may turn out to be a pretty good head coach too. But the bottom line is that what made that defense so special under him was how he mixed his coverages and how he knew how to change up the game plan and confuse offenses and make them make mistakes because they didn't know what they were seeing. And as recently as a couple weeks ago, we had people calling here questioning if the Bears needed to make a change on Chuck Pagano because they weren't getting the sacks, they weren't seeing the things they wanted to see. But now you're seeing in the last couple weeks that Chuck is in the same league as Vic Fangio. He's getting to know his personnel. He knows now when to do the special things you need to do to make special plays. There was a couple times today where he dialed up pressure that we hadn't seen him doing that, you know, in earlier times. And I think a lot of that has been a period of adjustment. But I think you're starting to see that this defense, it may in fact eventually get to as good as 18. They're not there yet. There's no question about that. They got to get a lot tougher against the run. But they are, it's funny because while I hear, you know, Nick Foles talking about the offense improving, and they're really not, I understand why he's saying it, the defense is taking big leaps now. I mean, they took another leap today off where they were against the Bucs. They played 60 minutes, and I do think that we should point out that, you know, Chuck Pagano is doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, he is. I mean, you think about defense and what you want. You want sacks and takeaways, and that's what's happening right now. So they got to continue on the streak and lead this team to more victories. And but that, you know, Chuck Pagano is doing a nice job. There were a couple times today where he dialed up, you know, just like a single little blitz of Roquan Smith. I think he brought was a Buster Screen on one that caused a little problem for Teddy Bridgewater, and he is doing it at the right time. But it makes it a lot easier when those front four can just get home.
All right, Patrick, it's time for us to hand it off. We do appreciate everybody joining us today on the Prop Swap post-game show presented by New Mail. We want to thank Julio Riseo for such an outstanding job producing. The new daddy, Julio Riseo, by the way. Congrats to Julio on that very large young man that his wife brought into the world. And hopefully they are enjoying the greatest blessing in life. We want to thank all of our callers and our sponsors. And we're going to do it a little differently today. We've actually got Anthony Heron and Olin Kreutz ready to go in studio. But I thought you and I could maybe get a chance to ask each of them a question. We got an NFL defensive lineman. We got an NFL Pro Bowl offensive lineman. And that's where a lot of the conversation has been today. And guys, get ready, because at 5-1, you would have expected a celebration, but we've had some fans who are still a little concerned about what they're seeing, and quite frankly, Patrick and I have joined them.
Well, it's worthy of concern, I suppose, because there's potential. I think when it comes down to it, I think the energy, the tone we saw from Nick Foles afterwards, you could probably point to that. I mean, I don't think he would use the word concern, but I think it's all born from a similar place where it feels like there's potential for something big here if they can get some things figured out. And I think obviously most of that points towards the offensive side of the ball, but it feels like there's some talent that's been accumulated there. They've tried to make the moves they needed to make behind center at quarterback. And if some things come together there, then you're looking at a squad that would have the potential with this defense, with their special teams, for a deep playoff run. So I think all those energies, the fans who are still kind of upset about it, Nick Foles being as fiery as I've ever seen Nick Foles in a media session after the game today. We'll hear from some of that on the post-post show here. I think it's all born from a place of thinking, you know what, if they just kind of tweak a couple of things here and improve in a couple of key spots offensively, the Bears might really have a shot. Oh, and I think it all comes from a similar place.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking before we came on air, and everybody's looking for the Bears' identity. And they know what their identity is. I don't know if Coach Nagy and Nick Foles know what their identity is, but we know what it is, right? And we talked about in a pregame, Pat and Hub, many times that this defense needs to get turnovers. They need to put the offense in good position to score. I'm an expert on those kind of things because my whole career was based off an offense and a defense like that. But even one of their touchdowns was a missed field goal, a long field goal, so it gave them good field position. They're on the 45, and that's what this offense needs to move the ball. The reason why I think fans are worried is, over the history of the NFL, when you look at it, the way this works, this formula, is a ball control offense. They run the ball. They don't turn the ball over. They don't make mistakes. When they throw the ball on first down, I think it was after a turnover, and Foles says, "I'm trying to make a play," and he throws a pick right away. When it looks
from
to me,
22,
when it looks to me right there, like, "Hey, if we get a field goal, this game might be over." This is why you're worried, right? And the last time they played, guys, Pat and Hub, the last time they played a good team, we thought that the Colts' defense might have been the steel curtain. They end up not being. So now we got the Rams coming to town, number 4 defense, number 4 offense, right? And just the great thing about that is it's Monday night, it's prime time, you're 5-1. The Bears put themselves in position, and hopefully they prove what they consider that everybody wrong, and they go out there and show you that they are a team to contend with in the NFC.
Olin or Ann, I don't know if you guys talked about it much on your post-game shows, but one thing that came up was the situation at the end of the game with Nagy trying to throw the ball on 3rd and 2 with, a minute and 40 to go. What was your thoughts on that? I mean, I know obviously Matt Nagy doesn't think they can run the ball, but don't you just have to run the ball there and burn that timeout and hopefully you get a first down?
And Pat, that goes back to the formula, right? And that's why everybody's worried. Because if you have that defense, the formula, Big Ant says, run the ball. But you're sitting there saying, we're not going to run the ball 3 times.
And I think that for that moment in the game, and it's one thing to be aggressive, and that's the word, because obviously today wasn't the first time we've seen Matt Nagy take a similar approach to that on 3rd and short with an opportunity to salt the game away, where afterwards he's having to answer questions because it doesn't work out as far as converting there. It doesn't work out as far as stopping, keeping the clock running. And so he's answering questions afterwards about why he made that decision, and he comes back to the same term. Well, we want to be aggressive there. And he's going to have to figure out the risk-reward scenario of allowing the clock to continue to run, of putting his defense that tends to lead his team to all these wins they're having so far, putting them in the most advantageous position possible, as opposed to having all the faith in the world, having that glasses-half-full approach of thinking, you know what, I think we can come up with a play here. We got a matchup that I think we like. Let's go ahead and throw it. And then, all right, if it doesn't work out, at least I got this championship-level defense. We need to find Matt Nagy, I think, in more scenarios coaching towards that championship-level defense than what he's done as of late.
Agreed. Anthony, we're going to get out of your way. I just wanted to get your thoughts and tell you what we've been hearing the last couple hours. This wraps up our Prop Swap post-game show. Guys, have fun. I know I'm going to be listening. And at the end of the day, we got to keep reminding everybody, it's the 5-1 Chicago Bears, and I don't know who had them at 5-1 right now, but it looks like they're going to be all alone in first place at the end of the evening, short of a miraculous comeback from the Green Bay Packers. So we're going to have a lot more fun all week long right here on The Score, talking about the second-best record in the NFC.
No doubt about it. Certainly a nail-biting game to watch play out today, and also the ability for the Bears to come out with that victory, with that dub, with that 5-1 record. It's fun. It's a lot more fun to be able to break that down, be able to poke some holes in their execution after a win than it is after a loss. A Hubbockers, Pat Manley, always, as always, outstanding stuff. Great to have you guys lead into us for the post-post show as we will be prepared. Myself, Anthony Heron, and the great Olin Kreutz leading you up to Monday night or Sunday night football, which will be not only on NBC on television, but right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We may as well, before I forget to do it, before I toss the break here, Julio Rosello hey, man, congratulations. Got that little bambino in the world right now. That is outstanding news, too. But we will be right back here. We will take your calls as well, 312-644-6767. You got Crutes and Hair, and this will be the post-post show on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.